Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. And that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here he is. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Jackson, and we are global. We're heard around the world. Today I have a very special guest. He's also a friend, a novelist, many books, very talented, Mr. Jeff Crawford. We're going to talk about his latest novel. In fact, it's his 11th novel, Sundown on the Savannah River. Now, I don't have my notes, so this is going to be a real interview. It's not set up. It's not a kiss-ass interview. The purpose of the interview is to get to know the author behind this beautiful book, Sundown on the Savannah River. Jeff Crawford is an amazing author. And this is my words. I've interviewed Mr. Crawford a couple of times. I find him really interesting and really cool. I've been doing this for over 11 years, and he's one of my favorites. I urge people to buy his book, or at the very least, listen to this interview to get to know the man behind these beautiful books. He's an amazing author. I also call him a friend. And this is a different type of radio show. This is real talk. It's not those stupid radio shows or talk shows at night that with these pre-interviews. We don't pre-interview here. What you hear is everything improv. Questions are real. He has no idea what I'm going to ask him. I have no idea what I'm going to ask him. That will make the show so good. And he'll be in the studio hopefully in about 5 minutes. But let me give you a little rundown on the book, Sundown on the Savannah River. It has taken a little while after graduation for him to find his way. And then a while after landing a job to find where his interests and talents lay. But eventually, Jackson Moffitt settled into his niche and began the upward climb. Work was his passion, and his focus until he met her. Together, they were the poster kids for ideal marriages, filling in the blank spots and gaps for each other, she looking out for him, and he cherishing and adoring her. Together, they rode out each storm that life threw at them and appeared to emerge stronger on the other side. Each and every year, this unbreakable bond that they had created was celebrated and renewed in the same place, reaffirmed mere steps from the Savannah River. However, as his appreciation for her grew, a secret from her past returned from the shadows where she has hidden it. And it returned in the most unexpected way. The almost fairy tale union they had formed began to dissolve. And only she knew the reason why. Her inability or unwillingness to discuss all that was happening with him left him with no choice but to try and find within himself just how he had failed the one he cared for so much. Failing her was inexcusable and unacceptable, especially after all she has done for him and all she had come to mean to him. Only when he had allowed the nightmare that their marriage had become had done so much damage that the end of everything was clearly visible did he finally hear the truth. The truth he had sought for so long. Now at the end of all things, decisions had to be made. Difficult life-saving or life-ending decisions. For years now, in fact, for as long as he could remember, all Jackson had wanted to do was wake up every morning and show his wife how important she was to him. Show her better than he had the day before. Now, he had decided. Now he had to decide if he even wanted to wake her up at all. This is a little bit about the book. I hope I read it right. It was a cold read. Did the best I could. No stuttering. No bipolar voices. No Tourette's. I think I did great. I'm going to introduce my executive producer, Miss Ellen Jay. Miss Ellen Johnson, how are you? Good read? Hopefully it was. If you look at the marquee, you will see some letters that will say, buy now. And that's what it means, buy now. Not tomorrow, not next week. It says now. If you click on buy now, it takes you right to Amazon. And you too can enjoy this beautiful book. Because he is an author, but he's also a valued author. And we need to support him so he can write more books, Mr. Jeff Crawford. But before I let the phone, or before I let everybody in, I have to do one thing because I'm hearing sounds in the background. So allow me to do this one commercial, and I'll be right back.
AG's Pet Crematorium wants to remind pet owners of the importance of spaying and neutering. Shelters overflow with unwanted pets. Spaying and neutering helps to prevent this and has many health benefits, too. This message courtesy of Aegis Pet Crematorium at 2317 Washington Avenue in Harvey. Trust their years of experience for all your pet cremation needs. Call Aegis Pet Crematorium at 504-362-3311. That's 504-362-3311.
There you go. That's little Aaron Dixon with AG Pet Cream for all your little pets. I think Mr. Crawford's in the studio. I'm going to test to see if Ellen's in the studio right now. Ellen, are you in the studio? She's not answering. I hope Blog Talk is not messing up. Let's see, 828, crossing my fingers, you're live on the air. Is this Mr. Jeff Crawford?
It is, Mr. Jackson. How are you?
Oh, how you doing, my friend? It's been a long time since I heard that voice.
It has. It's been a rough and rowdy, wild year and a half or something for everybody, but we're still kicking and gouging, and I'm tickled to be back with you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. I did a cold read. I hope I did it justice. I explaining your book, Sundown on the Savannah River.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you did fine.
Oh, thank you. Now, Jeff, here's what happened. There's been a mishap with my notes, meaning the form. I can usually go by the form, and I have questions for you. It disappeared.
Uh-huh.
So right now I'm going off the cuff, Jeff. We're going to go, as we say in the prairie, bare naked in the fire.
Well, that's all right. It just means we're both off of the hook.
That's true. Wow. Jeff, this is your 11th novel. You have written 11
uh-huh.
books. And the thing that I did read is that this book is different from your other books. How so?
It's suspense-based, and that's what I hang my hat on. That's what I've always done. But I've always
mm-hmm.
tended towards the horror side or the Western side or a period piece side, you know, whether it was post-Civil War or whatever. And this one, I went modern day, and
mm-hmm.
there's no violence, there's no whatever in this one like there is in all my other ones. This one is purely emotional and maybe a little bit psychological, but it's a thriller. It's a suspense that you don't know what's happening until probably four pages from the end when you find out
mm-hmm.
everything. So the best way to imagine this book is a roller coaster that the first half is you're going up and getting ready for this ride, and it's fun, it's wonderful, and the view is great. And then all of a sudden it starts going downhill, and it goes down so far that you can't see the bottom. And all you can do is hang on and scream because
wow.
you don't know where it's going to land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, because authors write where they're familiar, they're comfortable with, you explained a little bit why this is different. You've written 11 books.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty good at this. What was the psychological ride? I mean, for you to go... And I have not read the book, I'm being honest. But I'm assuming for you to take this other turn as far as your writing is concerned, did you have to, is this familiar ground, Jeff? Or is this something like, you know what, I haven't done this before, this is a different area, I'm enjoying this book, it's more exciting, or did it scare the hell out of you to know that you're going into a different area as far as writing is concerned?
All of the above. All of it. It's parts of it were very, very familiar grounds. Parts
mm-hmm.
were very unexplored for me, and part of it was that if you write the same book over and over again with different names and different places, then it becomes
right.
extremely boring to me, and I don't want to be boring to the reader.
Right.
So you have to keep pushing the edges out, and. And what is it that Chuck Yeager used to say? He said, you got to push the edges and go out there where the demon lives. and that's sort of what I've done on this one. I went deeper and farther into an area that I don't think gets explored enough, and that's the understanding of a relationship between two people, say a husband and a wife, you know, there's one thing to be complacent with that and happy with it or not understand it or whatever, but to go even further than you normally would and get it down to the cellular level in your understanding to where,
mm-hmm.
you know, is this the most important thing in the world to me? You know, or is
right.
it equal to something else, or where does it place on the hierarchy? And that book, this book explores all that and
mm-hmm.
how a person deals with the knowledge of it and how he deals mm-hmm. with the acceptance or lack of its destruction and demise. And luckily there is somebody that shows up out of nowhere to guide and be a shoulder to lean against in times when it's necessary. But, yeah, it was all of the above that you mentioned. It was scary to write this book. It was fun to write this book. I had a chance to be a smart aleck. I had a chance to be try to be funny. I had a chance to be dark and thoughtful. So I got to, you know, except for trying out recipes for Chinese food and killing somebody, I covered about everything else in this book.
Well, I understand, and I understand taking a risk. And I hope you still hold your core. I love your Westerns, by the way. So I'm hoping that.
Oh yeah, that's something I wanted to bring up with you, but I'll go ahead and throw that out right now,
sure.
Just for the fun of it. Since we're off the hook and playing without a script,
I know.
We're ad libbing, man.
We're hanging on, buddy. We're hanging on.
We are by our daggum fingernails. I was in Florida. I was gonna go fish for a day and do all the signing work for the contract on this book that just released. And just before I went, I got a message from someone on Facebook, or I saw something on Facebook about a publishing company looking for a horror story. Well, I'd been thinking about when I was going to write this new book, and the man that had put it out there was a fairly well-known Western writer. So I contacted him and I said, you know, I'm actually writing a Western right now, but it's horror based. I said, are you really interested in something like that? And he said, very much. So he said, when would you have it finished? And I said, probably mid-August. And this was back the second week of May when I started this book. So I started working on that, and I was going to take the summer off because between you and me, you know, all work and no fishing makes this old house a dull boy. So I was going to fish a little bit and, you know, pick a few blackberries and make a little jelly and whatnot. But I started working on this, and I've worked harder and harder, and now I'm, as I see the calendar about to flip to August, I'm about 8 chapters or 7 chapters away from finishing, which means 10 days, and it's at editing right now. So I'll be turning a Western horror into the publishers in about 3 weeks three and a half weeks. So that'll be number 12, and that gets you back to where you like. You like scary and you like cowboys.
Oh, I love them both. You're giving me everything I want in one book. I love horror. I love cowboys.
Well, you go have it all.
Now, you know, tell me about your characters in your book, and what makes them so interesting, Jeff?
What's neat is there's only 3 main characters in this book, and then there's several side roads where you get to meet other people for a little bit at a time. But the main character is this really, really accomplished professional in his field who is very nerdy, very awkward in his personal life, but a self-starter professionally, and that makes him a weird contrast to write. A lot of fun to write, but weird. And then there's the person that he meets who is completely opposite, always sure of what she does, and she's very logical. She's smart mouthed. She's cute, she's accomplished, she's everything except an extrovert. She's sort of a recluse, which makes that kind of fun to explore. And then there's a third character that comes along later in the book who is learning her job. She's brilliant, but she learns it, and she's learning it quickly. But she's also probably one of the more free-spirited, more compassionate people that you will ever read about. So there's right. There's a dynamic in that triangle that it's a lot of fun to write about. And then there's mm-hmm. 8 or 10 secondary characters that are just as interesting as anybody I've ever written about. Because
wow.
every person you read in this book, you're going to know somebody that's just like them. These are people that you would know and have dinner with and mm-hmm. Go to the ball game with or whatever. They're real. They're not. I love Dean Koontz books. I love them to death. But
yeah,
the characters are so they are so rich and so brilliant and so out there that you're mm-hmm. never going to meet anybody like them. These mm-hmm. people in Sundown, you could know every one of them, and go home and tell your wife, tell your husband, whatever, say, hey, I ran into so-and-so today, and it's going to be one of the characters in this book.
Hmm. I like that. And that keeps the reader engaged because it's familiar to them, and they can't wait to see because they do know somebody. That's a good hook there, Jeff, because
exactly.
you're reaching out to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If
wow.
Yeah, if you build familiarity, then you increase the emotional investment in that book. You know, you're going to want to
right.
read it because you know this person.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm walking in the bookstore. I'm looking for your book again. Sundown on the Savannah. I like how you, Savannah River.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I want to know what section do I go. Do I go to the romantic? Do I go to romantic? Do I go to drama? Do I go to suspense? Where am I going to find your book, Jeff?
I hope they have them on every one of those shelves.
Really?
I hope they do. It's a very romantic book. It's very
mm-hmm.
dramatic. It's very suspense-oriented. I would probably call this literary fiction and know that it encompasses all of that.
Wow.
The terror and the suspense buildup is all inside of one man's mind. I mean, you're not
mm-hmm.
going to see a lot of shadows and creeping doors and, you know, spider webs and things like that. It's not like that. It's all in this
right.
man's mind. And outwardly, he's having to deal as normal. And everybody sees him as normal for the most part. But inwardly, you know, there's a friggin' tornado going on inside of him. And it's just spinning him apart. So it's fun to watch him try to hold it together and not do it. I mean, and that's the reason that the help comes from out of nowhere.
Interesting. Now the age
range.
I'll
tell you something else interesting about this book that I've never done before, besides write one like this, is I kept looking at it, and I said, you know, this could translate in a way other than a book. So
mm-hmm.
I started exploring the audio side of it. And we hired a narrator, and I found her. She's in Wyoming. And she turned what I thought was a good book into a great piece of work. To listen to it is phenomenal. Now,
really?
I may be a little bit biased, and I would expect to be because it's my book. But I did not
right.
think she would be able to do what she did with what she had to work with. It was incredible
wow.
what she did. And I got lucky all the way around. I mean, I've got a best-selling author
mm-hmm.
who is loved all over the country that does my covers because she and I are friends.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got this best-selling writer, an award winner, and trained voice actress who does great work, does her own books, is a huge success, and took the time to narrate my book. So,
wow.
you know, I told somebody the other day, it's like being a nobody recording a CD, and then all of a sudden you've got Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Hank Williams Jr. coming on to sing on your album. You know, nobody knows me, but they know those names, and that is a huge bonus for me.
It's a great marketing thing. And Jeff, you just gave us an exclusive on the Brian Hammer Jackson show. I didn't know you were biased. I thought you were a straight guy. You know I have to throw that in, Jeff. Come on, you're on my show. Come on. You know I
have
to.
You don't have to ever wonder about me, man. I wear white cotton briefs and drive a pickup truck. You don't have to worry about me.
And your book is on sale now. It's on Amazon right now. It's a great price. I mean, Kindle is going for $3.99. The hardcover $27.99. Very affordable. That's what the going rate is. You're up there as far as I'm concerned. I'm a little biased myself because I think you're a great writer, Jeff. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Like I said, you're a friend too. So it's hard to interview a friend as well as a person who, you know, professional, that kind of thing. So I have to keep my professional interview up and pretend I don't know you so I can give you a good quality interview.
Well, I appreciate you snubbing me every time I pass you on the sidewalk and you act like you don't know me.
It's for your own good. It's for your own good. My audience, you know, you're so much higher than me, Jeff. You don't want to be associated with me. It's for your own good. So, Jeff, are you doing this as self-publishing, or do you now have a publisher that you can get in? They tell you, Jeff, I need another book. Here's the deadline, or are you still your own man?
It's all been independent so far. This new one may be going to a traditional house. I have done traditional publishing in the past, but this one was an independent.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of floats back and forth. I'm sort of using the best of both worlds, I guess.
Right. I like the risk you're taking. I like you going to the edge. You know, I get a lot of authors on the show. You know that, Jeff. I've been doing this for like over 10 years. I get a lot of authors. You are always a squeaky clean author, meaning that I get a lot of people, and there are some romantic scenes which are borderline porn, but I notice that your characters, do you have a lot of romance that gets really into detailed intimacy in the bedroom? Do you write anything about that?
No. There's some. If I write, you're going to see exactly what I see, and some things are just better left to the reader's imagination. Let them see what they want to see. And there's some things that just need a passing glance, and then a walk by. And there's some things that you need to really, really detail, but not. Not everything, I choose not to do certain things.
Okay. Well, I understand. My book is nothing but that. I got a story in between once in a while. That's all I know. Sundown on the Savannah River. Why the title, Jeff? How did you come up with this title?
Because
by Jeff Crawford.
Well, it keeps focusing back on the town of Savannah. And a view from a hotel room at the bridge. And it keeps coming up in the book. It's a central character. And I needed a place to focus an annual event, maybe sometimes more than that. And it's where the book starts and it's where the book finishes, in this room with the view of that river. I had to pick out a place, and I knew that place. I knew that photograph. I actually took that photograph years ago for the cover. So that's where that's just where I based it and focused it. And I got done, I thought, well, that's a pretty catchy title off of the tongue.
Yeah.
So that's the way it came about.
I like the Savannah. You still got that Western thing. Sundown at the I'll still know your books. It could be a romantic book, could be a horror book, but there'll be something that referenced the West. Sundown at the Savannah. It'll reference the West. If you look closely, there's going to be something that'll reference the West. When I was an actor, Jeff, I would get into these parts, and it took me a while to get out of character. How long did it take you to write this book, Jeff? 3 to 6 months?
It took 11 and a half months.
11 and a half months. That's almost a year of your life. And that means you're waking up, you're thinking about this, you're going out to dinner, you know, it gets into your head, this could be interesting, or you might see somebody eat weird, or might develop another character, whatever. Now, after you finish the book, are you still, how long does it take you to get out of that mindset, clear your head, take a deep breath? I know you like to go fishing and pick some berries, but how long does it take you to say, okay, my mind's clear, those characters are now done, finished, I'm moving on with a clean slate that I don't have anything that's referencing my last book? How long does it take you to clear your mind after you finish writing your book?
Sometimes a couple of days, sometimes a couple
really?
Of days, sometimes a week. Yeah, it depends on if I've got something else I'm going to jump right back into.
Really?
I did one once that I never published that I may go back and revisit. It took me about 3 months to snap out of it because it was so dark, and I got way into that book. But if I start thinking about the next project before I finish the one I'm on, then I know what I'm going to go right into, and there is zero lag time. I just write the end, clean it up, send it off, and the next day I start writing the other one, and I completely forget about the first book. So, I mean, it never quite leaves you, but you can put it back in a corner and sort of keep it hemmed in there.
It, you know, because not many people mention this to an author, because depending on the character, some people write a trilogy or they go on and on and on and on. And I worry about them because they're so caught up in the character. Sometimes they become that character while they're writing the book, right, Jeff? I mean, I hear stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And so, and it could go into a lot of psychological deep problems, couldn't it?
Yeah, I can see where it would.
Yeah, it's just like I could compare it to me doing a part in a movie, and it's like, oh, damn. And sometimes I go in and out of character. Well, that's something to know. Jeff, guess what? Our interview is over, buddy. It was a quick one.
Yeah, it was.
It was a quick one. Usually I keep Jeff here for about an hour. I think Ellen wants to say hello to you right now before you leave. Ellen, Jeff?
Hey. I have a trilogy that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the same characters.
Same characters?
No, I was just, yeah.
What do you, you mean the same characters of your book? I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Not Jeff's characters, but I see what you're saying.
No, not Jeff's character. No, not Jeff's characters. But the first three books in my Real or Fantasy series and the three books in my Playing with Fire trilogy, the storylines are all intertwined. It's a continuing thing.
Okay.
Well, some do that, and that's great. I don't have the imagination to be able to keep up with that and keep going on and on. I wish I did, but I don't. I put everything into one and wrap it up.
Have you ever thought about taking, you know, maybe a character from one of your other books and, you know, making a story centered just around them?
Good luck. It's never out of the realm of possibility, and I like the thoughts of it, but, you know, it's all I can do to get through this, you know, this one, without becoming a drunkard or a dog kicker.
I hear what you're saying.
Thank you for the answer.
I want to be mean to people sometimes, and sometimes I just want to. That's not a joke. It sounds extreme, but it's not. You get into this, and there are times, and you can't do anything about it. But you want to. You get in such a place that you want to go out and slap the first person you see, or you want to run up and hope that they hug you, and just hold you because you don't know which way to turn. Because you get in periods where you're at a loss, but. You know, it as part of it, you ride up and down. See, the reader, I don't know if the reader always thinks about that, but every high and low that they go through when they read a book, if it shocks them or makes them grin or whatever, the writer's already done it first. You know, mm-hmm. it hit them the same darn way.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know what? Brian, you have to take a break.
Okay, I will. Well, we're almost into the interview, and thank you so much, Alan. Thank you. We have to pay some bills, Jeff. I'm sorry. The bill collecting has been calling me and saying, yeah. But, you know, you and I have something in common. First, we're real men. Both of us are real men. I rode a horsey once or twice.
And you used your own dime to start it, didn't you?
I sure did. Now they're a quarter. Sometimes it goes around a little bit too fast. I had to tame that puppy. Well, I have another thing. We have another thing in common. I have a book coming out. It's a children's book, Jeff. Me writing for the kiddies.
I saw that.
And by the way, it's called My Ass Stinks. It's about a little donkey named Pablo, and it's for the children. So once it becomes a bestseller in a New York bestseller, Jeff, you and I will be sitting next to each other doing our signings. You're going to be doing a signing for Sundown on the Savannah River, and I will be signing My Ass Stinks together.
I tell you what, let's take the literary world by storm, and when yours hits the New York Times bestseller list and mine does,
right?
You and I will go on a 50-city signing tour together.
You're damn right.
We'll get one of those coach buses, and you and I'll just travel around and sing on the road again every time we get ready to leave at night.
Well, it'll be cool because you could wear your six guns. You can wear your holster with your six guns, and I could bring a donkey. It could be so cool.
We could do that.
We could do that.
I'd probably show up in you know, a Huck fishing short and shirt and Reeboks, but we could do it.
And you know what? You could ride my ass. Wait a minute. That don't sound good. I'm talking about the donkey. I know.
But,
good way to kill the interview. Like, wait a minute. I'm going to have to shoot somebody. My donkey.
No, Pablo.
All right.
No, I like donkey.
I like the donkey's a good donkey. I know your listeners going, okay, this is a different interview. Okay, get out, Jeff. Get out. Quick. Abort. Jeff Crawford.
<you're>
The novel is Sundown on the Savannah River. And, Jeff, you know what we do. Sometimes we don't talk on all the talking points. So you have 30 seconds, my friend, just in case something we didn't mention that you want to get out. Don't forget to tell people where to buy the book, how to reach you. You know the deal. And, Jeff, it's all yours.
All right, brother. Find me on Facebook, Jeff Crawford, Facebook, JBC Books, or Instagram, JBC Pen, or JB Crawford Pen, and look up the book. This book, grab it. Audio will be coming out in the next few days. It's in paperback, ebook, hardback. Look for my other books. If you're a suspense fan, then something there will agree with you. I guarantee you. And I appreciate all the readers and Brian and Ellen for their support. And I enjoy
anytime.
Every chance I get to come back on your show, brother.
Well, I look forward to it. I really do. We have a lot of fun. And you have a great following. And hello to Mr. Crawford's audience and fans. You're a fan because you recognize what I recognize. He's a great author. And I look forward to each book. This is your home. Anytime you want to promote, Jeff, you already know that. And I want to thank you so much for coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jeff. Before I let you go, I got to get the audience here. Ellen messes with my audience every time I come into the studio. The great Jeff Crawford, everybody. This is his 11th novel, Sundown on the Savannah River. Get it now. It's on sale. Go to Amazon. Cheap, too. For what he does, it's very cheap. You can't even get a ice smoke, Jeff. You can't even get a carton of cigarettes. With $14.95 or, you know, whatever. Let me see. You couldn't even do it. $27.99, I got three. That'll cost me four packs of cigarettes. Come on. Get the book.
Well, you're going to have to start rolling your own, man.
I do. You know, I tried that once. Didn't work. But you, Jeff, do you roll your own? I would like to see a cowboy.
I used to 35 years ago.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could even do it while I was driving in a pickup truck. I could roll one-handed and drive my truck at the same time with the window open.
Oh, my. See, that's a real man, Alan. That's a real man. There you go. Again, look for the tour. Jeff Crawford, everybody. Sundown on the Savannah River. And the guy next to him, my ass stinks. I mean, give it a list. Get him a looky. Jeff Crawford, everybody.
He's a nice guy. He deserves the look.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jeff. Happy trails, my friend.
All right.
And I'll see you soon.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and have a great day.
My pleasure, my brother. Jeff Crawford, everybody. Sundown on the Savannah River. And we'll be right back with a lot of stuff. We've got great authors here. Jeff is riding out in the sunset. Ellen is still here. She's an author. We'll talk a little bit about her book. And then we got some very interesting things to talk about with the pandemic. Some of you guys are still a little afraid of it, and I have some stories to tell you about that. Maybe it'll change your mind, and maybe you'll get vaccinated. It's dangerous out there, guys. I'm not kidding you. This is very dangerous. It's nothing to fool around about. So we'll be talking about that. We got some Trump news. You know how it goes. I was going to play some Western music because Jeff got me in the mood. You know what I mean? So, Ellen, go ahead and talk about your book while I find the music, please. Thank you.
Okay. Like I was saying earlier, I do have my four books that are going to be re-released in the next few months. The first three of my Real or Fantasy series and the first one in my Playing with Fire trilogy. They're all going to be re-released around the same time in the next few months. And they're romantic suspense with a lot of murder, lust, obsession, a little bit of erotica thrown in, if you like that kind of stuff. And you'll be able to find it everywhere books are sold online, except Amazon. I don't deal with Amazon. There you go, Brian. Is there anything else you wanted to know?
No, I mean, after what Bezos said, you know, flying around rich boys with rich toys and saying thanking us for buying, you
well,
know, put them in space.
I didn't deal with
Amazon. A bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I didn't deal with Amazon. And he got a lot of blowback for that, too.
Yeah, and he's trying to do good. He's trying to do this damage control, but you can tell that he's a selfish, narcissist bastard. You know, everything's about him. He didn't know what to say. You know, but I feel dirty now that you know I use Amazon. It's convenient as far as business goes. He did a good job, but. Then know that I put him in space and it cost $27 million when people are still hanging on to their relief checks. And, yeah, I just left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
I mean? But we'll be right back talking to Ellen. Now she's Ellen Johnson, but when she's on the radio with me and the music, she's Ellen J. But we'll be talking about Miss Johnson and her book, and I'll be asking her some questions. And there's some interesting stories I have also. So we'll be right back. I'm going to play this song for my friend, Jeff Crawford. We're both Westerners. I rode a horse here, too. I did. And this song. So maybe we'll play this song when we're doing our book signing. We'll be right back with Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. Support Jeff Crawford. It's a great book. Again, the name of the book is called Sundown on the Savannah River, and we'll be right back. Here you go, my friend. I'm going to play the song. We'll be right back.
Now I've been up the Chisholm Trail, been through Death Valley hard as hell. I rode across the dusty plains. There's a cowboy running through my veins. But I ain't going down Brokeback Mountain. did it with my britches on. You can have a chew, you can bum a smoke, but don't go reaching for my rope. I ain't going down Rogue Black Mountain. No, I ain't going down on Rogue Black Mountain. That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
It always gets me into karaoke. You know what I mean? Ellen? Ellen?
Oh, come on.
I always like to challenge myself to see if I could sing that. You know what I mean? Because I studied improv when I was an actor, but I forgot it. Sometimes I do it on a show just to test my improv skills. So I need you to judge me. I'm not going to play the karaoke version. I'm going to play the roast song, but you'll hear my voice. So judge me like you're at American Idol, okay?
Okay.
I'll try it, okay? Here we go. I'll try it. Let me see if I can do this. Let me know if you can hear it. I'll put it on speaker. Let me see if you can hear it. Wait, let's
okay.
test it. Okay, let's test. Can you hear it? Can you hear it?
Yeah.
You can hear it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
okay.
I can hear it.
Now, I'm going to talk during it, so tell me if you can hear my voice. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear my voice?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Because I have to hear the song in the back. I don't have my headphones. I'm just going to try. This is off the cuff. This is not no professional thing. I'm going to see if I can get into a Western voice and see if I can do it. What do you think? You think I could do it?
Sure.
No, you have no faith. All right, I'm going to try it. Excuse me. Hold on. Let me clear my voice. La, 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 la. Okay. Those are my scales. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, now you have to grade me because I'm just doing it from improv. I'm gonna try it. Here we go. I'll catch up.
I've been up the Chilean Trail,
been through that valley hard as hell. I rode across the dusty plains. There's a cowboy running through my veins. But I ain't going down Brokeback Mountain. No, I ain't going down Brokeback Mountain. That shit ain't right. That shit ain't right. Well, I watched the herd from dusk till dawn, but I did it with my britches on. You can have a chew, you can sell my smoke, but don't go reaching for my rope.
I ain't going down Brokeback Mountain. No, I ain't going down Brokeback Mountain. That shit ain't right. That shit ain't right. Two-stepping. One and a two and a 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 two and a one. Give her a twirl around the barn. She won't mind until you're gone.
Whoa, Willie. That last note sounded mighty queer.
What you do is your...
What you do your business, how you...
Okay, here we go. You can buy me a beer and then buck off. But I ain't going down Brokeback Mountain. No, I ain't going down Brokeback Mountain. That shit ain't right. That shit ain't right. That shit ain't right. That shit ain't right. That shit ain't right.
That was pretty good.
All right. You have to. All right. Now, please give me your hardest review.
That was pretty good. You did miss a couple of beats.
I kind of lost the place. I did it on improv. I mean, I didn't practice, but not bad. Okay. 1 to 5.
I give you 4.5 because you missed a couple
Thank
of beats.
You. Damn it. All right, I'll practice. Because, you know, when I sing like the phone, you know, it's kind of hard. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I did a couple. We did, what do we do? What's the ones we do? The Rocky Horror? Like, that Rudy always gets turned on every time we do it. What's it?
Yeah,
the
Rocky
Horror
picture. Yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I can't find that anymore.
Wow.
We did it good. I mean, God, when was the last time we did it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Yeah, Brad. when was the last time we did that? It was,
I don't know, 2 years ago.
Wow. You know, because when I do it, it's like, at first I was afraid, I was petrified. Keep thinking I could never live without you by my side. You know what I'm saying? But then I spent
mm-hmm.
so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. I grew strong. And I learned to get along. But what was it? Let me see if I can find it. Then we'll move on. Because now you got it in my head. What was it? Rocky Horror Picture Show, right? Come on.
Yeah.
You ready to? It's been a
no.
long. What was it? How?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to. I just
no.
broke back down. Yes, you are. Let me see. Rocky Horror.
Did you ever find that song Perry Mason by Ozzy Osbourne?
No, I haven't. Wait a minute. What was the scene? With Brad. No, I got a picture with Brad. Let me see. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I don't. Oh.
My coffee got cold.
It's a song. It's a song. I wondered if it have the full thing in it. I didn't know
I don't
it was
know.
A song. Oh, here it is. Okay, we'll play it through so you can get back into mine. Here we go.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Dad.
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the... skillful way you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me see. Okay. You know we're going to do it. Hold on. You did that pretty good. Let me see here. I think. Okay, Ike, are you eating? What are you doing?
I'm eating a piece of candy.
Aaron
gets this Japanese candy, and it's lychee. Lychee candy, and you know, it's actually some of the stuff that they make is actually pretty good. Aaron,
really?
What candy is this? Yeah, this is a hard lychee candy.
Lychee.
What's it called?
Or a flavor. It's lychee. It's a flavor.
Lychee is a flavor?
L-Y-C-H-E-E, lychee.
Okay. Now listen, you know your part. Let's try it one more time, okay? Because I'm not going to leave until you then. Well, listen to it again. Ready? Listen to it with your candy. Here we go.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Dad.
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the... skillful way you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
Can we do it? Let's see if we can do it, okay? It's been a long time. What was it, 2 years or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're not so excited. You used to. Okay, wait a minute. Okay.
No, because I don't like that movie.
I got to hear it one more time so I can get the rhythm one more time. Here we go.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Dad.
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the... skillful way you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
Okay, let's try this. It's been like 2 years. Okay, let's try it. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to try without their music and just us, okay?
Okay.
Ready? Here we go. All right. Take one. Damn it, Janet. Janet is played by Ellen Johnson. Brian Hammer Jackson is played by... No, I mean, Brian Hammer Jackson is playing... Brad. Thank you. All right. Ready?
Okay.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Brad?
I got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the skillful way you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
Oh, Brad.
Nailed it. All right, we'll be right back with some more stories. Donald Trump and more stories. I got an interesting story about the pandemic. Great work, Ellen. Let's do it a little bit more over the top, more breathy. Like, so let's see if we can do it over the top. Here we go. Wait, here we go again. One more time.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Dad.
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the skillful way you beat the other girl to the bride's bouquet.
All right. Last one. Here we go. Nailing it. All right. Scene two. Nailing it. Scene. Hey, Janet.
Yes, Brad.
I gotta say something. Okay, wait. Take two. All right. Quiet on a set. Somebody's eating candy. All right. Take two.
You can't even tell I'm eating candy.
Okay. Here we go. Take two. Here we go. Hey, Janet.
Yes, bud.
I got something to say. I really love the skillful way you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
Oh, Brad.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
That movie is the stupidest movie I've ever seen.
I had so much fun with it. We'll be right back with...
You need to find that song by Ozzy Osbourne.
I will. We'll be right back with Ellen Johnson, sponsored by Ellen's Gift and More. And when we come back, you can see how much more she has. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. And don't forget to support our author, our guest author who is in the studio, Mr. Jeff Crawford. His 11th novel called Sundown on the Savannah River. And we'll be right back. If you'd like to come into the studio, the number, do you remember the number?
Yes, I do. It's 319-527-6099.
That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number that will get your voice heard around the world. Thank you. And we'll be right back with more Us.
Hey, Dennis.
Yes,
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the... skillful way you beat the other girl to the bride's bouquet.
The river was deep, but I swam it.
Janet,
the future is ours, so let's plan it.
Janet,
so please don't tell me to can it.
Janet,
I've one thing to say, and that's Janet.
Janet, I love you.
But I read,
Janet,
there's a fire in my heart and you fed it.
Janet,
if there's one food for you, then I am it.
Janet,
I've one thing to say and that's damn it. Janet, I love you.
You know, the other one I like on this one, I know, and we're going to get off of this, but it's in my head. You know what's in my head? Let me see. You still here, Ellen? Let me see. Here you go. Here's the other one I like.
Yeah, I'm still here. No, I'm still here.
Now, Glee did a thing. There was a show called Glee that was on TV. They do some good stuff. They did a thing called Toucha, 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 Toucha. And here's how they, and this is how they sound. This is how they sounded.
I'm still in the mood. Couldn't win. I'd only ever kissed before. Mention of her, I felt there's no use getting into heavy sweating. It only leads to trouble and bad sweating. Now all I want to know is how to go. I've tasted blood and I want more.
More, more, more.
I'll put up no resistance. I want to stay the distance. I've got an itch to scratch. I need assistance. Touch, 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 touch me. I want to be dirty.
You know, I never saw that show. I wish I would have. I wish I would have saw it.
Yeah, you know, Erin is watching it from the beginning. She never watched
it
either, and she decided that she's going to watch it now.
Yeah, well, didn't Rudy introduce her to it?
No,
when she was younger.
No. She just now started watching it.
Wow, how come you never liked it?
I don't know.
You never liked it?
No.
All right, let me see.
Mm-mm. I sent you that song in your Facebook Messenger.
As expert.
Okay. Hopefully. You're determined for me to hear that, aren't you?
Okay. Yes, I am. It is good because we were talking about Perry Mason last night.
Right. Right. Okay, here it is. Listen. Now, this is what's her name? Help me out. The actress. I mean, I'm surprised she has a good voice. You know who I'm talking about, who played on the Rocky Horror. Hmm?
I don't know who you're talking about.
I should have said her name. Thelma Louise. She was Thelma Louise. She was Thelma.
Okay.
Then she played on that
baseball
movie.
No. Susan Sarandon?
Sarandon, yeah. Sarandon. What's her first? Is it Susan Sarandon?
Susan Sarandon, yeah.
Right. All right, this is her originally in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I was feeling down in. Couldn't win. I'd only ever kissed before.
You mean she?
I thought there's no use getting.
Okay, let me see what you got me. Let me see what you got. Ozzy Osbourne, Perry Mason, official video. All right. Let me see if I can play this. Let me see. Okay, here it is right here. Are they going to have a commercial first? I can't tell.
You know, hard rock is a little loud that early in the morning for you.
No, I'll tell you what I like. You know the song, I barely get through it. I got to play a demo door thing because it's in my head now. You know what I like with Ozzy.
What, Mama, I'm Coming Home?
Oh, my God, yes, I do. I think that's one of his best. I mean, you can feel the heart. I can relate to it. You know, I related to it. I told you I related to my mom and
that was a big change for Ozzy Osbourne. You know, when you think of Perry Mason right there and you think of Howl at the Moon and Crazy Train and, you know, and that
well, I don't,
from Black
yeah,
Sabbath.
I was surprised. He had a couple of them I liked. But this one, I just couldn't relate to it because when I went to Boston and everything, I just couldn't relate to it. But I could probably see if I can get through it. I like this. I like this song.
Bye.
You know, I requested this song. I told, who is my girlfriend? Oh, yeah, Cindy. I told her, you know, I told her, no, seriously, I told her when I die in my coffin that that's the song I want played. That's a song that I want played for me to send me to heaven to see my mother. That's the song. Because in our culture, is when you die, you're going home. You know, that's the thing we say. You went home. I'm sure other people say it. But when I die, I'm finally going to her. So that's the song I want when I die. That I'm going to go see my mother in heaven. Isn't that cool? That's the song I want.
Yeah,
played.
That is cool. Brian, what do you think your mother's going to say to you when she sees you up in heaven?
First, you'll be surprised. Because she doesn't probably think I'm going to be, I'm going down the other place, but she'll be surprised. I don't know what she would say. She would probably say, you groaned. No, but, you know, if you believe the stories about heaven, they can still see you. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, when you're by yourself and you're watching Pornhub, you say, Mom, look away. Look away, Mom. Look away. And then
yeah,
you kind of hide.
Yeah,
and
that's
you put
another,
the towel.
That's another, yeah, that's another thing that she's going to say. Boy, you
yeah,
watch
exactly.
too much porn.
Exactly. That's why
you
should be shocked that I'm there.
Yourself.
Yeah, I've seen everything. Just don't say anything. Don't even lie. It's, you're right here on Hulu. You know, but that's
you're right here on what?
On Hulu, I see what you're doing.
Oh,
and I'll get there, and I'm sure she'll welcome me there and show me around, introduce me to dead relatives I never knew, and that's it. But that's the song. I'm laying in my little coffin. I hope it's a big one because I hate to have my feet up to my knees. That's another thing that will freak me out, going, can you give me a bigger one? I'm going to stretch my knees out. That can be very uncomfortable. But I could be laying
sure
in my coffin.
I'm pretty sure they ask how tall the deceased is.
Yeah. I mean, no. Molly, you know, my family are going to give me a cheap one. They have to saw my legs off, and it'll probably be a little tiny coffin next to where my feet is. You know, just can't you just give me a bigger one? But, no, I'm in the coffin, my family, people who love me, probably be one person who's there for the free food, because I'm going to serve finger food. People get hungry at funerals. There'll be a cake to say, we miss you, homie, and a big tear in the cake. I have people around me. And then I wanted to be singing, I want this song, because I'm going home to mother, and that's the song I want. Here we go. And we'll be back with our stories.
It hurts so bad, it's been so long. Mama, I'm coming.
That's a song I want to play for my... You have a song that you want to play? That when you die?
No. I haven't thought about it.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
No. You know, it's funny. People are not going to know I'm gone. Because when I'm gone, my Facebook page will still be up. Brian, you're not talking to me.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they'll wait till maybe a month. It's like, he hasn't been on. I wonder if he's dead. True. True. I mean,
God.
If I was to die tomorrow, the only one would know, well, it'd be you. You would know. Because it's like, he hasn't
How
called me
know?
In about, huh?
How would I know?
Because I usually call you every other day, and you're not going to get a call for about 8 months, and you go, huh, he haven't called in 8 months. Maybe he dead.
Maybe homeboy died.
Exactly. I guess the only one they would know that if it was on my personal Facebook page, they would have to go on there, and maybe I'll get some relatives saying, well, rest in peace, Brian. Brian dead. Okay. And now I got a Jell-O recipe.
Yeah, now I got some fireball Jell-O shots.
Exactly. Exactly. Latia, 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 Latia. Good morning, sweetheart. Hello, Latia. Well, Latia's here. She'll talk when she can. And we got 111. I promise I wouldn't do 111 until in private, so because I don't know if it's a joker. You got 3 seconds, 111. 1001, 1002, 1003. Okay, it's a joker. Okay. Latia?
Yes, guys. I thought I said good morning while I was unmuted.
Oh, good morning, kiddo. Ellen's here. Ellen, Latia. There you go.
Hey.
Good morning. Hi, baby. Hi, baby. Well, I have some interesting news and a sad news. And, Latia, are you against getting a vaccination? Or are you going to get vaccinated?
Remember I told you me and my mom, we went and did whatever, but I don't know if she want to do it again, but.
Well, here's a story. Here's a story I want to read. It caught my eye. It's a sad story. It is the truth, guys. I mean, before, a month ago, 2 months ago, I'm saying whatever, whatever. But now it's not whatever, whatever. We're getting dangerous here, guys. I mean, in China, there's a flood. Germany, there's a flood. Africa, there's uprising and flooding. California, Oregon, Canada, wildfires. We have the pandemic. Shit, in Louisiana, it's raining 24/7. Even Moses is saying, damn. I mean, it's getting bad. Our climate is really bad.
This,
you know, our climate is bad. You know, the pandemic is here. Some people say the end of days. Donald Trump's thinking about coming back and run for another term. Oh, my God, can we get a break?
Yeah,
well, here's the story.
If he's convicted of a felony, he can't come back and run for a second term.
Yeah, but they're not going to convict him because it's not because he's – you know what they're going to do? They're going to shame him to oblivion, and they're going to take his money, which is worse than any conviction. And
well, then you
know
what?
They're
he ain't
going
to have no money to run.
You're right, but it was – exactly. It was an audio I was listening to on Morning Joe, and I can't find it. But anyway, they have him actually being interviewed about what was happening at the Capitol, and he sounded like he was cray-cray, like he was nuts. And even what's-her-name saying, is he mentally okay? Now, they said he's 75 now. If he decides to run, he will be 79, the oldest president ever to run. Biden's the oldest president now, but if Donald Trump decides to run in 3-4, he would be almost 80 by the time everything's said and done. Can you imagine having an 80-year-old president?
No,
and
he will be 80 by the time if the dumbass decides to run again and he gets elected.
Right.
Oh God, I hope
right.
not. He will be 80.
Right. And you know, it's like I equate it to the girls when they're 16, and here's how I equate it to them. You know, when you're 15 years old, and I'm talking about me as a boy, they're skinny, scrawny, glasses, and then all of a sudden they get to high school that one summer. It's like they got boobs, their hair is blonde, they bleached their teeth. Like, who the hell are you? Something happens over the summer. You know, they ripen. I don't know what it is, the sun, whatever. So he's at 75. There's no way in hell that he's going to be at the capacity he's going to be at 80. I mean, once you get to that kind of age, you just slide really fast. You just slide right into the wall.
Yeah.
It doesn't
He's already lost his mental faculties, and he's not even in office anymore.
You're absolutely right.
I would be scared to death of an 80-year-old man with onset dementia and Alzheimer's having his finger on the button.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Well, here's a story right here. If this doesn't convince you to get a shot, I don't know what it is. The title of the story, this came in yesterday, and this is about an Alabama doctor. It's a woman doctor. It came on the line an hour ago. The title, I'm Sorry, But It's Too Late. An Alabama doctor talks about treating unvaccinated COVID patients. Says they beg for the vaccine. An Alabama doctor is speaking out about treating unvaccinated to coronavirus patients, encouraging those who haven't gotten a shot to do so, and warning that it's not too late, but someday it might be. Well, Dr. Brittany, I like how she spelled her name, Brittany. I think it was B-R-Y-T-N-E-Y. It's different spelling, I like it. Well, Dr. Brittany, a physician at the Grandview Medical Center in Birmingham, she published an emotional post to Facebook on Sunday reflecting on a very serious COVID case she is seeing at the hospital. Here's what the doctor says. I'm admitting I'm admitting young, healthy people to the hospital with very serious COVID infections, she said. One of the last things they do before they're intubated, and it's a word, I-N-T-U-B-A-T-E-D, is beg me for the vaccine. I hold their hand and tell them, I'm sorry, but it's too late. Alabama has the lowest vaccination rate in the country, with 33.7% of its population fully vaccinated, according to the data from the Mayo Clinic. The state, like the rest of us, is seeing a surge in cases and hospitalizations due to the rise of the more contagious Delta variant, which is attacking more aggressively in younger age groups compared to previous virus strains. Experts have called the COVID-19 a pandemic of the unvaccinated, with the recent outbreaks largely among those who are unvaccinated and in community. State officials in Alabama reported that 94% COVID hospital patients that have died from the virus since April was unvaccinated. In Massachusetts, the vaccination rates are among the highest in the nation, with 63.2% of the population fully vaccinated, second only to Vermont, which is 67% fully vaccinated. While there are breakthroughs, meaning people who got vaccinated do get it, the cases cannot be ruled out among those who are vaccinated. Experts say hospitalizations and deaths are increasingly rare. It's rare to go to the hospital. It's rare to die if you've been vaccinated. Both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines have proven effective in preventing against the Delta variant, while the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has proven less effective, according to a lab study. The doctor says that all but one of her COVID patients in Alabama did not receive the vaccine. The vaccinated patients, she said, just needed little oxygen and expected to fully recover. Some others are just dying. When I call time of death, I hug their family members and I tell them the best way to honor their loved ones is to go get vaccinated and encourage everyone they know to do the same. She continued. They cry and they tell me they didn't know. They thought it was a hoax. They thought it was political. They thought because they had a certain blood type or a certain skin color, they wouldn't get sick. They thought it was just the flu. But they were wrong. And they wish they could go back, but they can't. So they thank me, and they go on to get the vaccine. And I go back to my office, write their death note, and say a small prayer that their loss will be saved, that their loss will save more lives. And that's what the doctor said in an interview. Says, you kind of go into this thinking, okay, I'm not going to feel bad for this person because they make their own choice. But then you actually see them, you see them face to face, and it really changes your whole perspective because they're still just a person that think they made the best decision that they could with the information that they have and all of the misinformation that's out there. The doctor said the current wave of the Delta variant reminds her of the time between October and November of 2020, just before Alabama's peak of the coronavirus cases and deaths. When I read for a while, I got that creepy guy in my head. Well, in the peak of coronavirus and death, I'm trying to get out of that head thing. You know, I got the creepy guy's head. And what we saw in December 2020, yeah, death all around us. And January 21, that was the absolute peak, yes. Ooh, the height of the pandemic when I was signing 10 death certificates a day, she said. Now, it's certainly not like that, but it's very reminiscent of probably October, November of 2020 when we know there's a lot of big things coming up.
But you know what? They're also saying, and Dr. Fauci is also saying this, if we keep on the path that we're doing, it will be just like that, like it was last year.
Well, that's how it is. The publication reported that the doctor worries about the upcoming school year will bring about the similar surge. All these kids are about to go back to school. No mask mandates are in place at all. 70% of Alabama is vaccinated. Of course, no kids are vaccinated for the first part, for most part, because they can't be. So it feels like an impending doom, basically. According to the newspaper, the doctor contracted the virus last summer while 27 weeks pregnant with her second child. Her symptoms were mild, but the child was delivered early out of caution and suffered no serious complications. She received the vaccine in December when healthcare workers became eligible. She said, "I did not hesitate to get it," she said. "There was a lot of unknown at the time because I was still breastfeeding about whether that was safe or not. I talked to so many other physicians, colleagues, as I could, and spoke with my OB, because my OG did it to me, baby. Yay. As far as data that she had available, and decided to continue breastfeeding after the vaccinations. For those hesitant to receive the vaccine, the doctor recommends speaking to a primary care physician, just as she did. Mm-hmm. I try to be very non-judgmental when I'm getting a new COVID patient that's unvaccinated, but I really just start asking them, why haven't you got the vaccine? And the one question I always ask them is, did you make an appointment with your primary care doctor and ask them for their opinion on whether or not you should receive the vaccine? And so far, nobody has answered yes to that question. And so these are other stories. I am telling you, I cannot tell you anymore, get the shot. Get it. Because you're going to get it. This COVID is no longer COVID-19. This has become something more dangerous and easily accessible. This is COVID-21. And we're going to have many more variants coming. I wouldn't be surprised if we have two different variants before Christmas, before the summer end. You're going to get it. Everybody's going to get it. I'm sorry. You're going to get it. Whether you're vaccinated or not, you're going to get it. But it depends on what it does to your body when you get it. It's another, or the long-term effects. It's another story. Science has proven, doctors have said, 97% of the patients that are in the hospital now and on ventilators now are unvaccinated. And if you want to put it in perspective, if you drink alcohol, you can get liver damage. If you smoke cigarette, you know what I'm saying. Your medication, your heart medication, whatever medication, your blood pressure medication, whatever medication are, has side effects, just as much side effects as this virus, this vaccine. Putting it in perspective, you take enough aspirin, you're going to mess your stomach lining. You smoke enough weed, your brain cells die. Can you imagine? Forget it. We know. See, we're so used to hearing this. It's like, brain cells? I got a couple more. But if we didn't know this and then we had the vaccine, well, you take the vaccine and you kill your brain cells. What? But we're so used to it now with smoking weed and doing drugs and huffing and puffing and whatever. You don't even think about that. Smoking weed kills brain cells. That's why Beavis and Butthead is not the vice president and the president of the United States. It does. So if you're worried about the side effects, it's no more different or dangerous than taking a couple of aspirins or drinking or your other medication that you may be on, because that all has side effects too. But this will protect your life. I'm telling you that. It does. Get vaccinated. Stop fooling around and quit being an idiot and a moron and a pussy. And if you don't get vaccinated, make sure I'm in your will. I need shit. Goodbye. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding at all. This is not a joking matter. You still got the morons who are saying, you know what I mean? Huh?
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Bye, Felicia. I mean, it is just unbelievable. When we come back, you know, there's a girl. Have you guys ever heard, what was that show, Dancing with the Stars? Was it Dancing with the Stars? Is that a show? I think it's a show.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars, yeah.
Yeah, there's a girl, her name is Hayden Panettiere or whatever.
Hayden Panettiere.
Okay, there you go. Do you know who she is? Very pretty girl.
Yeah.
And she looks so innocent. You know what I mean? She's doll-like, D-O-L-L. She's kind of doll-like. She made a move just recently that I don't know if it's healthy for her. I think it's basically deadly for her. We'll come back with that story. And I'd like to know what you think about this. Now, usually I'm on the man's point of view, but this time, I don't know. I don't know. Can a man really change? Can a man who kicks your ass, hits you in the face, tries to run you over in a car, kills you, can you give him another shot? Maybe he just had an episode.
Yeah,
you'll hear that story. What do you think, Latia? Latia, if your man came home drunk and you say, where you been at? I've been at where I was. But that's not good enough. Well, I want to know what you did, who you did it with, and do I have to get a checkup because you don't want you bring your shitty-ass hoes home and their diseases. And then he goes, bam, and he socks you in the face. What do you do, Latia?
First of all,
Hmm.
Yeah, you gotta come. First of all, before we even start dating, and I know how he is drunk, I ain't gonna deal with you. Like,
really?
If I you out with your boys, and like I ask you the question, if you don't want to like answer me, then I'm like, okay. And then like, once you see, I'll just see what you got on your phone. But what I do. But if it gets to like the violent part, then I have to leave you alone because. So a lot of men, when they get drunk, they end up blacking out,
Right.
Or even tired of you, and they come home one day because you sitting on their nerve, and they went to the bar drinking a couple of beers or whatever, and you say the least thing, boom, they'll end up beating you up for trying to do.
Now, what happens if he tries to rape you, like... Give me some. You're my wife. On your knees now, woman. What about that?
He don't tell me what to do.
Oh, I'll tell you what to do. You're my wife. You do the wifely duties. God said do it. You must do it. Even Jesus says, you got to do it. You promised him.
I've been telling him, Dad, you know what? You can go fuck yourself.
What? Oh,
my God. You're his...
Oh, yeah. That's part of the deal. That's part of the deal. And to death do us part, you can go in, you don't got much longer to live, motherfucker. No, that's part of the deal.
That ain't part of no deal. It ain't part of the deal.
Hey.
The way it is, because you don't
want to
take it out.
All right. I'm just going to have to take it then. That's the way you like it.
Well,
where's my
paddle?
What
if he like drunk? What if he drunk, and she end up going down, giving him a blow, and he end up peeing in her mouth? Oh, man.
It happens. I see nothing wrong with that. It happens. Right, Ellen?
Ellen's not
saying anything. But you're right. You're right because, it's not going to hurt you. A little pee is not going to hurt you. You know what I mean? Not going to hurt you. It's like recycled water just coming out the other end. Okay. Thank you. We'll be right back with that story. I'm not quite sure. And thank you, Latia, for Latia's already saying, Latia's getting a restraining order against me right now. He's on the radio. That's right. He should not talk to me more than 10 feet. I'm going to play this song. We'll be right back. This song.
What did I miss?
Well, you miss me raping Tia. You miss me. You miss me raping Latia. And Latia was upset because there's a little pee in her mouth. That's all.
Ew. I'd be upset too.
I know. It's like, what the hell did you do? I was only gone for 2 minutes. Where's Latia?
Yeah, Sebastian was tearing something up.
Yeah, I know. But it does happen. Guys come home drunk, you're married, and you know, I'm thinking when you get married, you're in it for the long haul. You should service your man and be happy that you have done it because that's part of the vows.
I don't think so.
No, it is.
I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so? Then you should not say I do, because then you're going to say I don't, and then you're lying to Jesus.
Because sometimes we don't feel like doing nothing. And when we don't feel like doing nothing, that's when he want to do something. And then when he don't want to do nothing, that's when we want to do something. So it goes
right,
versa.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Latia. No, I actually do agree with you. I don't think any couple should refuse another person. I really don't. I mean, there's certain ways to do it. You don't have to have the full intercourse. There's certain ways. We know that, you know, I'm not going to go into detail, minus the vacuum cleaner if it's on low. But I'm just saying, I don't think, thank you, Ellen. I don't think that anybody, if a man refuses a woman, seriously, I really feel the same way. If she's in the mood and he goes, if her needs are not met, it's time for her to get on the net. I made that up. And you know what?
Yeah.
And you will.
You know what?
Because
That's the time when a woman, if her needs aren't met, that's the time when she brings out Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true, Ellen. That's true. I mean, there's a reason why these adult toys are like a $1 billion business, man. There's a reason for it. And you know who are, I bet you the main customers of these adult toys are probably married women. I don't think single women, I think single women get it anytime they want to.
No, you'd be surprised. A lot of single women, trust me, I'm in the business, Brian. A lot of single women. I mean, you know, and married women, yeah, they get the occasional vibrator, but you'll be surprised. A lot of married women, they get toys that they can use with their husband or their boyfriend.
I don't like that. See, I don't do that. I don't share the toys.
Okay.
Right.
Why would you like that, Brian?
I don't. I think that should not have happened. I don't think a man should share. Partake into the toy business with his woman. And I'll tell you why. It's a lose-lose situation. I think it's a personal thing. I think whatever's in her mind, whatever gets her off, is her personal space. When you start inviting your husband to play with you and things like that, it just tells me that, wait a minute.
With toys. Yeah, it brings you closer. It enhances your sexual relationship. Yes, it does, Brian. And
it
doesn't. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. You know You know who Pure Romance was started by?
Who?
Her name is Patty Brisbane, and she's a board-certified doctor.
Who cares? You're right.
Well,
she is bored, and she should be, and she's certifiable. So she's bored and she's certifiable. She's still a human being. If she has an event, a dildo, and she's a doctor, nobody's touching her. She is bored and certifiable. Of course she needs a dildo because she has nothing going on. Huh?
Bullshit. You know, she's got a multi-billion-dollar business that she runs.
And lonely.
She's not. No, she's not. She's still married.
I like to think so. The marriage is a shambles.
You know what? No, it's not. Brian,
I like to think so.
It is not. And
I like to think so.
Sexual toys do enhance intimacy between couples.
No. Any man
yes,
that
does
that with their woman is a moron. Get the hell out of there quick, and I'll tell you the reason why.
Okay.
First of all.
Okay, yeah. Okay, they have cock rings for men.
Well, you know what? I'm not putting a ring on it. He's a single penis. Are you single penis? Are you single penis? I'm not putting a ring on it.
They vibrate, Ryan.
I don't care. I'm doing it the old-fashioned way. With rough lips and movements.
He is not with.
I know. I'll tell you the reason why men should not play with your toys. Heed my warning. Recognize the threat. I'll tell you.
But you know,
because women, you know what? Then they like it with somebody else because I ain't doing it. I'm leaving.
I ain't doing it either.
Huh? What?
I ain't doing it.
What? Come here, woman. I'll tell you why. When a man starts doing that, right? Now it becomes her with the toy and him. It's like an extension. Everything features is on the toy. The concentration is on the toy. How he's doing it and how the toy feels, and he's doing it great, and he's doing this. And the attention should be on me with my magnificent package. That's where the attention should be.
Making love, not making love with a toy.
Exactly. I'm with you.
I
this is not no toy story.
You make me
yeah,
love.
I do too.
Like boys to men, it say, I make love to you.
I like that. Mm.
They better listen to Boys to Men. Ooh,
that's right. That's right. Boys to Men. Oh, Latia, you are so young. I don't think you remember the song, but I got a feeling that you're going to like it because I'm going to play this on a break right now. I bet you $1 million you're going to like it. You're way too young to know about him.
Well, that means I got to give you $1 million.
Sebastian.
Yeah, let me tell you, I think you're going to love it. I'm going to play it right now because I'm going to take a break. But I guarantee you, once I play this song, you're going to wait for me to come back on the air and going, oh, Brian, oh, baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm going to hear, here we go.
Sex noises.
And we'll be right back with more erotic talk with Latia, Ellen J, and Bri.
Bri. Waffles.
Yeah,
waffles.
That's right. Check out this song, Latia. I guarantee you, and I'll be right back with more stories.
To lose all thoughts, spend some time, have
A little old school for the old G, orgasmic guy. You know what I'm saying, girl? What do you think? What do you think, Latia? Uh-huh.
My auntie used to play that song when we used to go to the cookout. Yeah, they used to play all that.
At a cookout, huh?
Yep.
How about this song? So, what you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. That's right. You'll be pregnant by the end of the day. At the cookout. 111, you're live on the air. You got 3 seconds. Identify yourself. 1001, 1002. And you're out of here. That's the Joker. All right, here we go. Get your shot. Come on, get your shot, you guys. Don't be a moron. The side effects is nothing more greater than blood pressure medicine, dick medicine. You ever hear some of these things? I see them on TV all the time. Guy smiling, running through the daisies, and he got some medication. I don't know what it is. And he's happy, and he's running around. He's holding hands with his girlfriend. And then I'm hearing the side effects. Well, you could dirty yourself. your liver could fall out. You could cause blindness, dizziness, suffering, bowel movement problems, wear brown underwear in the daytime. I mean, do you ever hear these symptoms from that? It caused blindness and itchy balls. And yet I'm going, damn. And this guy is so happy and he's still running around in the daisy going, and what is itchy balls? Hell no. I'm going to be sick. I mean, if you look at these heart, if you look at any kind of medication, any medication you're on right now, you go on the web, you go on the, I'm calling web, I'm old school. You go on the internet and look at the side effects of any medication that you're on. It's not, it's just as bad, if not worse, than taking the shot. What I suffered, I took the shot, I got both my shots, I did the Pfizer. I suffered fatigue, brain fog. What? I did. My brain fog lasts for about 3 weeks, you know. I mean, it's like I couldn't really put senses together. But I did it, but I wasn't really comprehending what I was saying. Because it was like,
so you just had a slow moment.
Right. But I went through that. I'm okay now. And I went to the fatigue. I was tired. I didn't experience any headaches like some people experience. But I know that I'm not going to die. I know I'm not going to be in the hospital. I know I'm not going to be on a ventilator. Because
yeah.
Like I said, with black folks, they don't give you the ventilator. They give you a plastic, they give you a brown bag to breathe in. That's your ventilator. What's all that noise?
My mom got the shot. She's 72 years old. You know, her doctor made sure she got the shot. She got the Johnson & Johnson. And she said that she was sick as a dog for one day. One day. One day. And that's it. I got the Moderna. The only side effect that I had was, you know, and this is with any shot, okay? It's not just the shot. If you get shots regularly or if you get jabbed because you need antibiotics or something, your arm is going to be stiff and achy. That's
yep.
all I got. That's all I had. I took Tylenol, you know, and it was gone the next day. Erin got the Pfizer. I don't remember if she said she had. I don't think she had any symptoms at all. And this child, Brian, you know what Erin has.
Right, right. She has another.
She was exposed, exposed to COVID twice.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, I am, you know, I really feel sorry for the children who can't get it and who are exposed. Did you just hear it? It was just this morning. It was a 5-year, beautiful baby, beautiful baby. She was 5 years old, just died of COVID. She just died of COVID. They said it's very rare that children die, but she died. I don't think it's going to be rare because when this thing mutates and it's mutating like crazy, the next mutation, there's going to be a lot of deaths. And it's going to come to our children.
I mean, you know, and these parents that just had babies, they better, and
right.
they're against getting the vaccine, they better hurry up and get off their fucking asses and go get that shot. Because if they spread this to their children, especially a
right.
baby that was just born, babies
right.
cannot get it. You know, you might as well kiss your child goodbye if you're not getting the shot.
Right. And parents got to realize when these kids go back to school, and they will eventually go back to school, if you're any kind of parent, you know that whatever they go to school and they're around these other little bastards with these bacteria kids, they're going to bring it home to you. They're going to bring home every virus that you believe. They're going to give you a kiss, hi, Mom, and pass it on to you. They're going to do it.
Don't kiss me. Go brush your teeth.
Well, yeah. Well, that's not going to help. I mean, that virus, and they're going to hug you and kiss
yeah,
you.
That's not going to help. You know, Brian's talking about these kids pick up every single microorganism that's floating around that school.
Definitely
yeah.
daycare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, daycare. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there are going to be some parents that these kids
they
belong to are not vaccinated.
They had a daycare. I think it was in Georgia that had to shut down because they had too many cases of kids getting COVID.
Right. Did they shut down your daycare, Latia?
I took them out because it was like too many kids getting sick. So I was like, bye.
Wow. Wow. I didn't realize that they started daycare at 2 years old. I saw a daycare center where I live. They start them at two.
Actually, some
preschool.
Of them start them at 6 months old.
Start them
at 6 months
start
old.
Some of them start at 6 weeks.
What? Are you serious? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I thought it was four. Wow.
No, because the parents have to go back to work, and, you know, some of them, they don't have a live-in babysitter like relatives, or they can't,
right.
You know, they don't have a babysitter that they can depend on, so they put them in daycare.
See, you got to get shots, man. Latia, you got to get your shot, Latia. You know, I'm usually this person. Ellen. Oh, you did?
I remember when I told me and my mama, we went, and we were supposed to go, but we ended up going.
Right.
But that's why I was like, I don't know if she'll get it again.
Which one did you get?
I don't know. I won't
pass it. Well, Latina, if you got the Pfizer or the Moderna, then you have to go again because until you get the second shot, you guys aren't fully vaccinated.
Yeah, you got to go again. You got to get your second dose. You got to get protected.
Yeah, because I told her yesterday that I'm going to have to go again. She was like, I ain't like it because my arm was hurting. I'm like, lady.
Well, I mean, you have to go again because they're gonna tell you, look, you can still catch it. You're not fully vaccinated.
Yep,
you're not fully vaccinated till you get the second dose. And 2 weeks, then you have to wait 2 weeks after that before you're fully vaccinated.
No,
so you have
Brian,
to wait 2 weeks.
You have to wait 2 weeks. You have to wait 2 weeks with the Moderna, 3 weeks with Pfizer.
Was it three with Pfizer? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the story. Here's the story, you guys, because I see two more people coming in the studio, and we're getting a full studio. And I'm going to open up the phones right when I read the story. And Mr. Columbus is in here. I would love to hear his advice. Here's the story. So, you know, I'm usually with the men. You got to give me some really heavy facts before I go against a man because some women exaggerate. I know I come home. I'm tired. I expect
a lot of men exaggerate, too.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if men exaggerate.
Really?
Because
really?
I expect certain things. Well, I expect certain things in a relationship. I expect when I'm ready, you're ready.
And so do women.
Yeah.
Women expect certain things in a relationship, too.
Well, I believe
bullshit.
That, too.
I
just said that a woman should not be denied. I fully agree with that. I don't believe couples should deny each other. There's compromises in everything. I believe that too. Well, here's the story. Until I read this story, what's her name? How do you pronounce her last name? Panettiere, whatever. Hayden. Ellen. Anyway, she's with Dancing with the Stars. She's the blonde. Her name is Hayden Panettiere, and so she's spending time with her ex.
Hayden Panettiere. And she's also
what's her name? Is that her name?
Hayden
Panettiere?
Yeah, Hayden Panettiere. Yeah, and she's also on that series, The Flash.
Okay. Well, she's a nice girl, as far as I can see. So I didn't know she had a boyfriend. Her boyfriend's name is Brian Hickerson. Here's the headline: Hayden Panettiere spends time with ex. Brian Hickerson, after his jail release. I'm going, he's in jail? What are you going to jail for? Seemed like a nice little white boy. What's he doing in jail? Here's the story. Hayden Panettiere and Brian Hickerson appear to have put their tumultuous past behind them. What? The former couple was spotted spending time together after Hickerson's jail release. What? An eyewitness tells ET, that's Entertainment Tonight, the two arrived together at Justin Queso's in Los Angeles on Saturday and had a really good time. It's an eatery. The two of them were seen line dancing and they chatted with other people at the bar. Days later, they came in again to watch the NBA Finals. Brian arrived before Hayden and they hung out at the bar and watched the game. They were friendly and relaxed and not showing any PDA. PDA is, what is PDA? Public display of affection, I guess. Their outing came after Hickerson, here we go, was sentenced to 45 days of county jail 4 years of formal probation, 52 domestic violent classes, $500 in restitution, and a five-year protective order for injuring Patier, for injuring her. A spokesperson for the Los Angeles District Attorney Office tells People that the protective order does not prohibit the defendant and the victim interacting with each other. Higgerson was arrested on charges of domestic violence and assault last July after the actress reported to several police departments multiple serious instances of domestic violence perpetrated by Higgerson during their year and a half. Only a year and a half, and he's beating the hell out of her. Only a year and a half, he's beating the hell
okay,
out of her.
Okay, and how in the fuck can she go back to somebody that does that shit to her?
That's the question. I'm going to open it up. Higgerson was sentenced on April 20 after he pleaded no contest to two felonies. He had to plead that so he doesn't go to jail. Of injuring a spouse or girlfriend. I am coming forward with the truth about what happened to me with the hopes that my story will impact. You know, I hate these motherfuckers, man. I hate it when they say this. I hate the victim saying it, and I hate the perpetrator saying it. I'm coming forward so I can save other relationships. I'm a hero.
Well,
no, you're not, you son of a bitch. You shouldn't have raised your hand in the first place, and you, the victim, should not be excusing this bullshit and say, love, and I'm forgiving them. Jesus, what? Well, you're not Jesus. So
yeah,
I always hate
well,
it when
yeah.
they say
I'm
coming forward with the truth so other people can be inspired by my abuses and if I kick my girlfriend's ass so they can be inspired that you could change. You're not supposed to kick your girlfriend's
ass. Yeah, well,
ass.
You know what?
Go ahead. Yeah.
You know what? Her story holds no credibility because she's back with the son of a bitch that
right.
Makes
and
her
then,
in the first
it's going to be my question. It's going to be my question as I'm finished because Argo's almost done. I mean, how do you feel about her? So Pentier said in a statement to ET following Higgerson's arrest, I am prepared to do my part to make sure this man never hurts anyone again. What? What? So
okay,
you're going to
so,
stay in this abusive relationship.
Part.
You're going to be a hero. I'm going to do my part to make sure he doesn't hurt anybody again. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I'm
okay,
grateful
no,
for
you,
my
you
support.
Know, you know what her part is, Brian? Yeah, she's
right.
going to do her part all right. She's going to make sure he hurts nobody but her.
But her. So instead of saying, I'm getting out of the situation, arrest this motherfucker, whatever, I'm going to set an example. See, here's an example. The example is... It was only a year and a half. I mean, I'm not putting no time limit, but if you're showing this shit a year and a half, two things are going on in my mind that's going on in my relationship. There's alcohol, there's drugs, and there's money problems. I'm just saying. I don't know. It didn't say it here. But what she just said, I am prepared to do my part to make sure this man never hurts anyone again. I'm grateful for my support system, which helped me find the courage to regain my voice and my life. Well, you didn't even need to have your courage or your voice, motherfucker. You got your – what do you mean to find it? Leave. That tells me that's the example. And then it has here, if you know someone who is experiencing domestic violence, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. You know what? I'm going to call them, motherfuckers. I'm going to be a battered guy. Hello. Sometimes when I get wound up like this, I make the call, a live call. Anyway, that's the story. I want to hear from you ladies about this. Is she a champion? I'm telling my story. Are they really helping somebody? What's going on here? Mr. Columbus Barry, thank you for coming in studio. You heard the story. What is your opinion on this, sir? Should have, you know, maybe they had an abusive relationship. Maybe he's seeking help. He is on probation. Maybe a guy can change. Maybe they could change, right? What do you think, Mr. Barry?
I think people can change, but I feel indifferent about the situation. Where she's like, I want this to be a learning experience for everybody else when other people interpret things a lot differently. Somebody, I mean, like, what if a kid who's been being bullied all his life gets a hold of this story and all he sees is him, a man emasculating a woman, beating the shit out of her. He's like, oh, my God, that's my fucking hero. I want to be powerful just like this guy. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
He can interpret that story his own way. And then now you got another kid growing up beating the hell out of women. What I personally think she needs to do is she does not need to be in that situation because if she got away with it in 45 days in jail, she took him right back with no hesitation. Next time, she's not going to have hesitation because she's going to be dead or be within an inch of her life or struggling. And then something tells me this lady will probably still go back to him and say, well, he just snapped. People can snap. No, no. No, if it's a reoccurring thing, it's a fucking problem.
You know what? I agree with you 100%. Does it make her seem like a hero, or she says, I'm telling my story to help somebody else? Does she hold any credibility by going back with this guy who's beating the motherfucking shit out of her?
You cannot do that. You are not the fucking hero. You are stupid. You may think you're being a hero by putting your voice behind whatever happened, but it gets null and void when you go back to the situation. Like, you can't say one thing and do another. Like, you can't say, you guys don't deserve to get your ass beat, but yet you go get your ass beat.
I agree. But can a guy change, though, Mr. Barry?
Yes. Yes. Under certain circumstances, I think a guy can change. People can change. But, it's the severity of the situation, you know what I mean? Maybe he had a wake-up call with this. Like, the only thing I feel like people can't change from this is if it's reoccurring. If it just keeps fucking happening, keeps happening, like, that's just like a mental thing. I don't know. They need to get more serious rather than being locked up in jail.
I'm with you, because what she said really is disturbing. When she says, I am prepared to do my part to make sure this man never hurts anyone again. What does that mean? Your part is lock the motherfucker up, quit taking him back, quit enabling this bastard, and you're going to say, now when you walk the street, we're going to praise you, going, thank you for him not being single and dating my daughter. Thank you for taking the hits and the punishment and everything. You're a true hero. I can't wrap my head around this. And I'm usually for, Ellen, Latia, help me. You guys are women. I mean, come on. But I love him. He only hits me when he's drunk. Well, how often is he drunk? Every day. Okay.
Well, you know what? Okay, the first time Bastard lays his hands on me, that's the last time, because he'll be 6 feet under.
Well, there you go. There you go. I think she's a fool to even come up with this. I don't know what the reason this is, because it sounds like she gave an interview to ET, which is Entertainment Tonight. Why would you give an interview about this and praise yourself as some kind of hero and Lord and Savior and out him like he's some kind of animal, a domestic Mike Tyson running loose, but you're going to keep a handle on him? You just made him look like some crazed animal, but made yourself look like some victim hero, like, I'm going to make sure he doesn't hurt somebody again, and I took him back, and I'll see this thing. And it's like, why would you do that? Why would you out him?
No.
And why would you make, you know, what do you think? I don't know.
I'm going to flip the table this time. I have a really random question. At what point is it okay, this is going to sound fucked up, for a guy to lay his hands on a woman? At what point, like, to protect himself, you know, I just feel like as a man, regardless of the situation, somebody's going to look at you crazy unless you actually had a gun pulled out on you and there's evidence of that, like, or something like that. You see what I'm saying? So at what point is it okay as a man to defend yourself against a woman? Now, I'm not saying that happened in this case, but I'm just saying in another case. At what point is it okay to protect yourself?
Well, see, that's the problem. That's the gray area. You try to protect yourself, and you let the cops come to your house and see who they take to jail.
Yeah, because it comes to a certain point, like, okay, you can hold a woman off for so long, but what if she does something to overpower you, and the only, you know, the only thing you have left to do is strike the woman to get her down to protect yourself?
Well, see, I'm not tolerating. See, the reason that I'm safe, I haven't been to jail or drug addicted or homeless, is I don't put myself in a situation. I had a woman who was an alcoholic. And when she was drinking, she got mean. The only reason I like her hanging around because she has titties and wear no bra on. I like to see the titty swap. Okay, sue me. Don't judge me. Titties. But she was an angry drunk. One time we had an argument. I'm not touching her. I'm not going in there. I went to sleep. And I actually was so tired that I actually laid on the floor for a little bit. And she kicked me hard right in the ribs, and I felt my ribs cracked. My ribs cracked. It's like I couldn't breathe. And you know what I did? I go, okay. I just said it. That's it. She goes, what are you doing? Packing my shit. She goes, but this is your place. That's right. I'm going to a hotel room. You got 24 hours to get the fuck out of my place. And if you're not out of my place, I am calling the cops. And I'm going to say that you broke in. Done. You know what I'm saying? There's no, oh, why did you do that? Oh, he just did it. There's no excuses for that. There's no excuse why any man put his hand on a female. I don't care what it is. There is no excuse. Now, she's coming at you with a knife. Run. Now, if you have to defend yourself, you got to be very careful. I don't know how you're going to defend yourself without, you know, without getting a gun and blowing their goddamn brains out. Get the fuck out. That's it. That's it.
Valid point. Because I've been in a situation just like yours. One of my ex-girlfriends used to try to pull that bipolar card and shit like that. And mm-hmm. she would try to egg me on, slam my head against walls, pull my dreads.
Oh, yeah.
When they first started. And then the moment I grab her and put her off me and sit her down, like, hey, yo, you need to chill. Why are you mm-hmm. hitting me? Why are you hitting me? I'm like, yo, mm-hmm. what? So I got mm-hmm. out of that fucking relationship. What I did,
man,
I broke my hand behind it. I broke my hand behind it because I went and I punched something to get all the anger out, and I broke my goddamn hand because I'm like, I'm not going to hit this woman, regardless of what she's doing, and it still held my composure. Didn't even call her a bitch. Didn't call out her name or anything. Got myself out of the situation. But there are guys who don't have that willpower. So then what?
And you're right. Yeah, I mean, and those are the guys who are in jail, like saying, hey, woman, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there are some women who will dare you to hit them. When they get at that state, go ahead, hit me, hit me, hit me. I ain't no punk. Oh, you ain't no man either. A real man would have hit me by now. Well, I ain't going to, boom, and they do. I ain't going to let no woman talk to me like that. Okay, well, thank you for calling collect from the county jail. See you in 6 years. Meanwhile, I'm fucking your girlfriend. But don't be a punk, man. It's like, you're right. I have had girls, women who have tried to egg, because when I get really upset, I'm a quiet guy. I don't like to fight. It's like, I'm shutting down. You're not there. And then they get upset when you don't talk to them. And I've had that, and then, come on, hit me. You know, then they push you and all that shit, just like you. I turn around and but I learned my lesson. Before, I just turned around and got the hell out of the house. And then I got hit in the head with an ashtray. I go, uh-uh. I back out very slowly. I'm not kidding. Don't turn your back, whatever you do. I'm not even joking. Back out very slowly. Don't turn around because you'll get hurt.
Yeah, wow. I feel like in this situation, along with others, this might take a little turn, but when it comes to a lot of other situations, they're actually similar to the situation on how you react. Every reaction has a consequence, so you better decipher on how you want, you know, to act and act towards the situation. That's basically what I'm saying. You got to be aware of the situation and understand the consequences if you react a certain way.
I had this vindictive bitch, man, and this was the worst thing. It was worse than me ever getting hit. It was the worst thing. I'd rather get hit, but she did. I had phone books. Beautiful hoes waiting for me to call them. They're on standby. She got so mad at me that she poured Comet on my phone book, and I didn't know, and poured water on it, and all the ink went out. It's like, they're all gone. She goes, now try to find your hoe. I go, bitch. That's it. We'll never make up again. You know, you erased my hoe. That is the worst thing you could ever do to man. Go ahead.
You want to know what else one of my exes did? Guess what she did?
What?
She had the audacity to hit me up and say, hey, can we get back together sometime? It's been 5-6 years. She's constantly hitting on my phone. Whenever I'm talking to the girl, she's like, who's that bitch? This and that. Say, we're not together.
Mm-hmm.
She fucks my homeboy, comes to my house the next day, and is trying to talk about getting back together. She didn't know that I knew about it. Then she fucks my other best friend, well, ex-best friend, and still tried to get back to me. And then she's like, I had a conversation with her. And I was like, look, I'll be cordial with you, but nothing more than that. And she's like, you know, I could be married and had kids by now. And start doing that little cough, cough thing. I said, yeah, you fucking crazy. You're out your goddamn mind.
Oh, women are like that, man. They lose. Oh, yeah. They'll try to get you with that the pussy fighting thing. And they make that excuse. oh, yeah, makeup sex is so good. No, it's not. There's a reason we have to do the makeup sex. If you didn't do the shit before, then it wouldn't be no makeup sex. It would just be sex. Oh, it's just so hot makeup.
I will never.
Shut up.
I will never in my life get pissed off at a dude for the girl that I'm with sleeping with. That's her own personal issue. If he knew, if he didn't, hey, I'm not mad at you, boss. It's her fault. It's her issue. Vagina gets dudes killed out here for no reason. I'm not getting killed over vagina.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not.
You know, that's
you
a good
don't
question.
Understand what a man will do to protect his woman or a situation
right.
like that. So I'm not putting myself in a situation like that.
See, I'm with you, Mr. Berry. I had a friend, great friend. We did a movie together. We were like the best, like Affleck and whatever his name is. So he fell in love with this girl. I knew she was a hoe, and he wouldn't believe me. I said, no. I go, dude, we just sold our film. We got film offers and everything. I want to marry her. I go, you don't want to marry her. She has a kid. I don't care. I want to take care of them now. I go, you're stupid. She's a hoe. Look at her titties. She doesn't wear a bra. I know she. A lot of people don't wear a bra, Brian. Okay, fine. I, as a good friend, went home, made a call to her, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to come over. She goes, oh, that'd be good. I ended up in the tub with her and her roommate. Ended up doing, she sucked like you would not, you know, she was really good with the blowjob and everything. I still needed evidence, so I did it, and I did it for my friend. I didn't do it for me. I did it for him. As soon as it was over, I called him and going, see, I told you. He goes, what happened? I slept with your girl. I told you she's a hoe. I didn't really think it out that much. I said, I did this for you because if she slept with me, she'll sleep with anybody. It's true. If she sleeps with me, she'll sleep with anybody. I saved you heartache. And he didn't even have the nerve to thank me. To this day, we're not as close anymore. All because of her. I did him a favor, and I don't get appreciated. Thank you.
Really? I don't think he sees it as a favor. I think he sees it more of a betrayal.
what an asshole. I mean, he sees it that way. I saved him for marrying her because she was going to be fucking everybody in sight. And I needed proof. And after I wiped my dick off, I realized that was proof. He could smell it if he wanted to because it'll smell like her. But I decided that our friendship was so important that I had to show him that the girl he was with was a hoe. And like I said, if she said with me, she'll sleep with anybody. Thank you. And I still don't get credit for it. I think it was very nice of me. I guess it was like a Jesus thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Hey. When you want to know, Ellen, when you want to know the man that you're going to marry, that maybe he's a gambler. Or maybe he's a womanizer. Maybe he's this and this. And remember that? Remember there used to be a service. Remember the service? I don't think they're around anymore. Where it was run by women, and they would set up these people. I forgot what it was called. To flirt with their men and everything to see if they would go for it. And they have cameras with it. I forgot what it was. Remember that service that they had in the, I think it was the 90s or 2000s? That they actually had a company. Do you remember? That they were sent out.
Are you talking
God,
about the one that, where you know, her big database of names was hacked?
Right. Well.
Yeah.
It was no, not Heidi. You're thinking Heidi Fleiss.
I'm not thinking about Heidi Fleiss. No, I'm not talking about Heidi
what
Fleiss.
What do they call it?
Flowers.
No. It was a company that, what do they call these women? Surrogates. They send them out and see if their husband, what do they call them? Not an escort service. No, it wasn't an escort service. It was a company that these women wanted to find out if their men were true. They would hire them. I forgot what it was called. They would send these beautiful women out to flirt with these men and get the evidence on him to see if he flirted back. And then they go, here's the evidence. See, he's a dog. Oh, I forgot the name of it. All right, but we only have a little bit of time.
I don't
these
remember.
I forgot the name of it.
It's called Cheaters.
Here we go.
It's called Cheaters.
Oh, that's the worst show ever. Do you ever see that show? Oh, my God. No, it was what's another name for you sitting somebody out, they're fake and everything, and I can't even figure out the name. I have it on the tip of my tongue. Forget it. Here we go, you guys. Speaking of cheaters – Here you go, Latia. Play along, Mr. Barry and Ellen. And there's like 6111s in the studio. These are the shows that you see on TV that you thought were real. They're the 35 most fake reality shows on television. And I'll read them off. Tell me if there's any shows that you guys have. If you're familiar with the show, tell me to stop. Here's one called South Beach Tow. I have no idea what this is. So nobody's seen
South
this show.
Beach
so I'm going to move.
Yeah,
South Beach Tow, T-O-W.
It's the show, it's the show where everybody gets their cars towed and try to fight.
Is that what
yeah.
it is?
Well,
okay.
It's a repossession show. They go out and they repossess all these cars.
Okay.
Paul used to watch that, and so did Rudy.
The hijinks from, but see, you guys thought it was real. The hijinks from within the show are just fantastic. Famed cultural icon Bernice, has done everything from pulling cars, doors off the hinges with her bare hands to falling out of a parking lot structure, only to somehow magically survive and apprehend a violator moments later. Of course, the show is fake, and it's very entertaining. It was fake. It was not true. Next one. I'll do it really fast. Duck Dynasty. Anybody hear about Duck Dynasty?
Yeah.
Well, it's a fake show. These wholesome family based in Louisiana became famous for their ability to create duck calls. There's a cast. The show was almost all related from underneath the Robertson umbrella. However, producers reportedly have created dramatic elements to drum up storylines. Additionally, reports indicate that the production team adds bleep into the final cut, even when family members were not swearing. It's a fake show. Here we go. Undercover Boss. Anybody familiar with Undercover Boss? Fake show.
Yeah.
Well, millions across the country love the premise of the Undercover Boss. The radar workers finally getting credit for their excellent work at work. Bosses of various companies will go undercover to truly see how their workers would be doing, as well as learning things about their business. In all actuality, reports indicate that the show is scripted and the promises made to various workers aren't really kept. It's a lie.
Well, you've been lied to. Okay, that is not true, okay? Because the one where they had Drew Brees on there, he came through with everything he said he was going to come through with.
I don't know because I heard other stories that he didn't. He left. So I heard that. It's scripted.
No, that's not true.
Okay. Well,
believe me. People around here, if they found out that he didn't come through with everything, they would have been on his ass.
Well, here we go. Project Runway, fake show. The judging is fake. Okay. Cake Boss. I just watched that the other day. Cake Boss. Anybody familiar with that? Fake show.
Yeah.
It's reportedly not that the cake shop when the show isn't filming duly some of the weddings or events shown in program are alleged. All of them are fake. Ghost Hunters, fake. The Ghost Hunters became somewhat of a phenomenon over the last few years. Multiple shows have spawned from the initial creation. Many have accused the show of being scripted. Former case manager Donna LeCroux even did an interview which essentially ripped the show apart from authentic. Fake. Even the ghosts are fake. The Jerry Springer Show. Jerry Springer is fake. I mean, are you really surprised by this one? Jerry Springer Show is one of the most outlandish television programs to ever grace a television, from the storylines to the guests, even a production team egging the crowd on. The show is not completely truthful by any means. Fake. But there's one show that surprised me. Storage Wars, fake. Jersey Shore, fake. This is your reality TV. Say Yes to the Dress, fake. This is your reality TV, folks. I mean, any of you guys think these shows are real?
I don't watch reality TV, so I don't care.
Fixer Upper, fake. Well, there's going to be some shows. Long Island Medium. This is the woman who sees ghosts and the Long Island Medium. She had a show on. Fake.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Her name was Teresa Caputo. Teresa made a living out of being a medium and connecting people with their loved ones who have passed. However, everything is not as it seems in this case. Caputo has been at the center of scandals, which claims that all of her information about her clients and audience in the shows have been given to her. Producers find out all of the information through social media, questionnaires, and background checks. Then they feed it to her on stage. She's a fake. Cupcake War is fake. There you go. Yeah, you didn't know that, huh? These are things you did not know that they're saying. See, we're on reality radio. There's no script here. Naked and Afraid. They're fake. It says the production crew also supplies contestants with amenities which would not be available to them in the wilderness, such as prescription medication, tampons, even vitamin B supplements. Basketball Wives, fake. Fake, fake, fake. The Hills, fake. These are all some of your shows. Last Comic Standing, how's that fake? Well, it left everyone, including the judges, visibly angry when the winner name was called. The show was also known for editing good performances to make them look terrible. Fake. Fake, fake, fake. The Apprentice with Donald Trump, number 17. Fake. The reality TV show that put Donald Trump back in the spotlight is extra fake. The premise of the Apprentice essentially involved a group of business folks or celebrities interviewing for a job at Trump's company. Obviously, the firing segment was added and scripted for dramatic effect. Contestants apparently also knew they were going to be fired before it even happened. The worst part was that there was no actual prize for the winner other than being the winner. So they lied. Trump did not give them a job. They did not work in his foundation. There was no prize. Nobody got money. Nobody got nothing. Fake, fake, fake. Just like Donald Trump presidency was. Love Island, fake. The intimate scenes are faked with the producers going through numerous takes before picking the most realistic thing there.
Hey, wild guess. Guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What?
I was supposed to be on Love Island season 2 in USA.
Were you really? Wow.
Yep. And then COVID hit. They're going to fly me out to L.A., do our in-person interviews and stuff like that before we went to Fiji.
Really? Wow.
Yes, sir.
Do you regret it?
I'm kind of pissed off that COVID hit because I would have been over there. That would have been some nice exposure.
It would be, wouldn't it? It would be. Wow, look at you. I was once a pro. There was a game show long ago with Worley. What was it? I'll Be Back in 2 and 2 was a dating game. I forgot what it was called. That you would go on a date with these three women and they tell you about the date and everything. I was supposed to do that, but I never did it.
Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Chuck Woolery. I was in Century City. That's a business district in Los Angeles, and the woman says, hey, would you like to be on? What was the name of that show? Well, Chuck will read 2 minutes. I'll Be Back in 2 and 2. It was a dating show. And they said, you look like you can date. I go, well, I have a girlfriend. They go, well, would you like to be on TV?
It
okay.
Dating game?
It was a dating game
game
where you go out on a date, you choose three,
it was,
it'd be three
that's
women.
That's what it was called, the dating game.
What? No, it wasn't
the dating game.
No, it wasn't the dating
game. Yeah, that's
what
it was called.
No, it wasn't the dating game. No. All right. No, it was not. Chuck Woolery. What was his show? What was that show? Wasn't the dating game. If it is, I owe you a pause. I'm sure it wasn't the dating game. What's his name? Woolery?
Chuck Woolery.
Okay. What was the name of that show? Host a talk show where he was the Wheel of Fortune. He was on Love Connection. I think it was Love Connection.
Oh.
That's what it was called. Love Connection. That was the name of the show. And I was a bachelor, had to choose these hosts to go out with. I go, do I get to pick the host? They're not hosts. Okay, do I get to pick them? They go, yes. Okay. And I never did. I never did. But look at Mr. Love Island here, Mr. Barry. Mr. Love Island here. Pretty damn good. I was also going to go on a show.
You know who was the host of the dating game?
Who?
Chuck Barris. He did the dating game before he did
No,
the
no,
yeah.
no, no, no,
yeah,
no,
I'm looking at
no.
it right now.
Chuck
IMDb.
Barris. No, no,
IMDb.
No. He might have produced it.
The dating game.
Chuck Barris was on the Gong Show, wasn't he? It was the Gong Show.
Yeah.
I think he produced the dating game at one point, but I don't think he was on it.
Yeah, he, let's see, Chuck Barris and packaged by Chuck Barris from the 60s through the 80s. ABC dropped the show on July 6, 1973, but it continued in syndication for another year as the new dating game.
Okay, oh, the new dating game, okay. Okay. Well, you know where America Got Talent, Britain Got Talent? Fake. Thank you, Alan. That's pretty good. It's like it's counter, like the its U.S. counterpart, meaning America's Got Talent. Britain Got Talent and its diverse mega talent show showcasing everything from children to dancers to musicians. However, One Little Dog almost brought the show to his knees in 2000 or in 2015. It was a dog act called Jules and Matisse, and the Matisse. They won the competition. However, it turned out to be completely rigged. The producers had swapped out a similar-looking dog for Matisse because the real dog was too terrified to do the high-wire stunt. Rigged and fake. America Got Talent, fake. So these are all the shows that you guys are thinking it's real. And we can go on and on and on. Anything that says reality show is not reality. Dance Moms, I never heard of that. Hell's Kitchen, fake. Hell's Kitchen. It says the show is scripted, and the customers who eat the meals are paid actors. Now that's just sad. They're extras. There you go. I can go on and on and on. Nobody cares. And we're losing people because Mr. Barry left. All right, that's the end of our show. Even Latia left. Oh, my God. I guess I bored them to death because I'm a psychic and I was going to read her future. Wow.
Wow.
Well, we're going to leave. Didn't it
turn out that Chuck Barris was part of the CIA?
He was working with the CIA. He actually was.
Yep.
What's this noise? Listen to this. What does this sound like? I don't know what that is. All right. Tomorrow what happened is that I messed up on the form. I deleted the form, so we're supposed to have a couple of guests. I guess it's tomorrow, next day. I don't know. But I deleted the form. But I got Mr. Jeff Crawford in, and thank you, Jeff. Jeff's on Facebook. Don't forget to get his book called Sundown on the Savannah River. Savannah River. I guess I got a little... Hey, Ellen, you know this song, don't you? Yeah, I'm going to let it go with this. Brian Hammer Jackson singing to Miss Ellen Johnson, the song that really turns her on. That's right. You know what it is, Ellen. Ellen.
Okay.
Here it is. And goodbye, everybody. See you tomorrow. I'm going to play this song now. It's just me and you, Ellen. Here we go. Here we go, baby. Listen to this.
What do you want to do?
I'm here, baby.
I'm ready, baby.
I am patiently waiting on you.
Taking the mic now, girl.
Something wrong with me.
Oh, yeah. Start throwing your panties. Every time I'm in long way. Make sure they're wet so they can stick to my forehead. You loving me. Hey, babe, babe. Make them wet so they can stick to my forehead. Yeah. Why don't we stop going? Yeah, don't, baby. Make sure you got the phone number so I can block your ass after I'm done with your ass. My share of lovers, and some say I'm damn good. Oh, yeah. But if you think you can turn me out, baby, yeah, baby. Telling me this and telling me that. I'll never go back. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Oh, girl, I've been thinking about you. I've been thinking about you when I was on the toilet. I really miss you, girl. I'm going to stroke a little bit. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Oh, girl. You and me.
So many things I can do to you. And so many ways I can leave. Hey, hey, hey. It's your move. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do. Hey, baby, I've had my share of love.
I'm damn good. Ooh, thrill me, Brian. You think? Yeah. Look at my penis. I'm doing a helicopter. Telling me this and telling me that.
Say one time with you, I'll never go back. Say there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby.
Practice what you preach. Oh, yeah. That's it, ladies. All right. I'm going to save my voice to paying audience. Put your dollar bills down. $5 minimum. I'm not going to do you with a dollar bill. $5 minimum, baby. All right. Can you imagine them putting them in there in my G-string? And they just want to see my balls explode. I mean, you got your regular balls. By the time of the end of the night, you got all that money in there, and your balls are just right to your shoulders because you got up money. And look at those testes. And who wants – can you imagine that you're at Walmart and the lady goes, I'll be $2.50. Oh, just a second. What are you doing, sir? That's where I carry my money. Ooh. Here you go. Don't smell it.
Oh, my God.
Well, sir, it's 95 cents, and I just shake my ass. Bink, bink, bink. Oh, just another quarter. Bink. Thank you. I am the place, Alan. Oh, I got to buy a pack of cigarettes. Sir, that'll be $5. Oh, just a second. What are you doing, sir? What are you putting your hand in your pocket? I'm getting my money. Sir, there's a lot of crimple. You got your money's all crimpled in the ball and everything. That's right. Had a good night.
Oh, my God.
You host one of those parties, and I'll be your featured dancer. And now, our featured dancer for the night. He's black. In fact, his name is. And all the girls goes, ooh, we're going to get to see a black dong. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Black Magic. I come out dressed as Batman. Hello. They like my ears. They like my cod. Refund. I thought Batman was going to be here, and I go, no, it's Black Man. Just a typo. Ladies and gentlemen, Black Man. Hi. You know, Alan, I'm going to give you a picture of me laying on a towel with some grapes, eating grapes. And I think I'm going to wax my male nipples so it'll be shiny.
Oh, my God.
I lay on my side so you can see the curvature of my ass. Wow. Uh-huh. Wow, look at that. That's a whole lot of ass for a whole lot of women. All right, everybody. This entertainment is over. Can't get this great entertainment anywhere else. You're welcome. Don't forget my podcast. Don't forget my book. You're going to love my podcast. Go to my website. Well, I'm fixing it. MVPOnDemand.com. Tomorrow we don't have any guests, so we'll be talking about something interesting. Penis pumps. Can it do more damage than good?
Okay.
It's all I got. I'm going to end it with this because this is going to make you smile. Let me, because I got to finish. I got to end it with a big bang, right, Ellen? I got to go out with a big bang. And I want to thank Miss Ellen Johnson, Ellen Gibson Moore, because we're still on the air. We're not even in podcast. We're still on the air. I want to thank Ellen Johnson for coming on the show. She was always a good executive producer. She's on her own now. She has her own business called Ellen Gibson Moore. So take it away, Ellen, some of the stuff that you have right now, and then I'm going to close the show with a bang because I think you're going to like it. Take it away, Ellen Johnson.
Yeah, I am in direct sales. I have a couple of businesses. I have Java Mama, which is, you know, delicious coffee, tea, and cocoa. I have Steep Tea, which is all tea. You can get loose leaf tea. You can get bubble tea if you like making your own bubble tea at home, which ours is a lot more nutrition. Because instead of the tapioca pearls that they use in the commercial tea shops, we use basil seeds, and that's a lot richer in fiber, which is better for you than the no-calorie tapioca pearls. I have Synergence, which is makeup and skincare for both men and women. You know, we have a men's line with the shaving cream, the gel for their face, and we have makeup, anti-aging makeup for women, anti-aging skincare for women, you know, with sunblock in it, because you need to protect your skin nowadays, especially with all those wildfires burning up out in the west.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I have Perfectly Posh, which is hand cream, soap, body mist, all kinds of different things. I have Noonday Collection Jewelry, which is jewelry, artisan handcrafted jewelry from around the world, and they got some really pretty stuff. And besides doing all of that, I also have my own online store, like Brian was saying, Ellen's Gifts and More. And I have a variety of items, books, music, children's clothes, toys, gourmet food, shoes, purses, jewelry, makeup, all kinds of stuff in my store. And I'm also a published author, and my first four books that I'm rewriting are going to be re-released in the next few months. So be looking for those. And there you go. And that's me in a nutshell, Brian.
I love it. And she will also be starting next Friday, because we didn't get it enough here, is that if you join MVP's promotion and bonus and rewards, there'll be discount gifts every Friday, some free gifts too if you join that. And Ellen has so much tea and makeup and a lot of other goodies that she could put down as a discount. And we invite other businesses to do the same, to promote that as a discount, and we promote the audience. All right, are you ready for the big finish? Because I know you want it.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yep.
You tell me, after it is, you tell me you didn't put it, you tried not to smile. Here it is. Big finish, everybody. Here it is. Here it is. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Come ride a little train that is going down the tracks to the junction.
Can you hear it? Can you hear it?
Yep. Yep.
Can you hear me with it too, or is it just too loud? Can you hear me with
it? No, I can hear you. I can hear you.
All right, here we go. Here we go. It's for all you Hammerites.
Here we go. I sing this to you. It's one of my favorites.
Come ride a little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction. Forget about your kid, it is time to relax at the junction. Lots of curves, you bet. Even more when you get to the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
Yeah.
There's a little hotel called the Shady Rest at the junction. It is run by Kate, come and be her guest at the junction. And that's Fuck You Joe, he's a moving kind of slow at the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
How did I do?
You did good.
Yeah. All right, everybody, that's our show for tomorrow. That's our show for tomorrow, too. Get the hell out of here.
That's our show for tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah, that's our show for tomorrow, too. Get the hell out of here. It's Friday. Tomorrow's Friday, huh? Friday, we're going to make a live call. We're going to call Bellevue and see if we can commit Donald Trump tomorrow. We're going to see if we can commit Donald Trump. You see how far we go. We'll make another prank call. I'm a little disturbed about I can't call anymore because that beeping thing doesn't work anymore. I'm kind of worried about that because usually when I put my headphones on, I can hit press 1. I can press 2, and it usually works. I don't have time to do it because there's 2 minutes left, but if I can't do that, I'm in trouble. So I'm going to press a regular business. We're going to call a regular business. And we're going to do a prank tomorrow. It's Friday prank day. And we're going to do it. And we're going to have some fun. You know? We're going to do it. I have my sheep noises. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call a restaurant and tell them that I have live sheep. And it's going to be delivered to them. We'll find something to do. But we're going to do a prank call tomorrow. All right, everybody. That's our show. And we'll see you later. Brian Hammer Jackson out. Ellen J's out. See you guys tomorrow.